Never underestimate the power of a well-delivered, short, first-hand report from a layperson of what God is doing in his or her life. That's the key sentence for today's SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming ministry. David, as you look back on the past year, what's a sermon or service that stands out in your mind?
Probably the Easter Sunday service in the church where we are involved stands out because it was incredibly victorious and celebrative time. In my mind, I can see the children. There are probably like 50 children dancing in a great circle around the congregation as the people were singing. It's something that's become a tradition, and their leaders dancing with them. And when I say dancing, I'm not talking about couples dancing, but just dancing in joy like in a parade, and all the children smiling and just delighting. That's one of the memories I have. Another memory I have that touched me deeply was one morning when the scripture was to be read. They always read a couple of scriptures in the morning service, and a gentleman who walked to the center of the platform, and he didn't have a Bible like they normally do, and he just recited by heart a long section of scripture. It was almost like a total chapter, but he did it with feeling, and he had mastered this so beautifully. Didn't say he was going to do it by memory. Nothing was said, but he just did it. When it was done, you knew that he loved the Word of God. You knew that he had put a lot of time into being able to do that. You knew that he wasn't showing off. You knew that he did it as a gift to the Lord. That was a memory I have that's very beautiful because I've tried to memorize Scripture as I'm older, and I really have to work at it, and I'm talking about memorizing maybe 3 or 4 verses in a row. So I knew the time he had put in, and I mean, nobody said what his name was. Nobody said thank you. He just did that, and that was a very beautiful time for me. The time that probably is even more outstanding than that is when the gentleman who was preaching stopped maybe a little over halfway through his message and asked for someone to come to the front. It had been planned well. She was sitting in the front, and he said, "What she has to share will tie with what I have been saying." And while he was talking, she came, stood behind him, and then when he said who she was, she stepped to the podium, and then she read a testimony. She was a new believer. She knew nothing about the Lord. There had been a death of her husband, and her struggling to find life, its meaning, and coming to the church and how beautiful it had all been to her and how her life was totally transformed. She gave the credit to Jesus. It was just phenomenally well done. She didn't do it to have people say that was really well done. She just did it. She had worked on it. She was able to say quickly what she wanted to say. I should say she was able to read it quickly because she read it. But it gave the glory to the Lord. And when she was done, you knew that a miracle had happened in her life and that she was not the same person she used to be because of Jesus. It wasn't even just the church. It was Jesus and his church. It was fabulous. So those are the things that stand out to me quickly. I won't try to think of any others because those just pop in my mind immediately.
Was this the only time you heard a strong testimony like this? Because most churches don't make use of testimonies anymore.
This was, again, a woman. This time she didn't read, she spoke. And this was on a Thursday night. I go to the group where they're ex-offenders and then people who have committed crimes in some way. This was a lady I had met at a table, heard about her conversion, really didn't know who she was. Usually you don't sit at the same table, so she would say hello. I remember Jim, who introduced me, saying that she was in radio like you were, David, so you'd probably have something in common. Actually, she was on one of the huge Chicago stations, like a WLS, and she had a regular program on Saturday mornings about real estate, and she had an expertise in that area. So when she got up, she knew how to speak. She was not emotional. She told how in her life she had gotten into trouble, and she didn't name what her offense was. I later found out what that was. She had invested money for a client, like a lot of money, in something that was probably not the best investment, and it went under and she lost. It was about $1 million for these people. She was quite repentant. In some ways, it was a foolish thing she did, but because of that, it was a crime, and she was having to go on trial for all of this. In the meantime, she had come to know Jesus, and she shared how she had been in church, a mainline denominational church, and never heard that Jesus could forgive her sin. And it was the first time coming to this group, she started coming because she knew she would be put on trial. She has since been sent to prison, and she was commissioned by the group to go as their representative for Jesus to bring his word into that prison, just like she'd heard many testimonies of other prisoners. But I mean, it's a scary thing as a woman to be sent into prison, even if she's commissioned as of Jesus. But she gave her testimony, and I thought, man, she is really articulate. I never thought of her as somebody who could stand up and speak. She wasn't emotional. She was almost cerebral in many ways, but it was just a testimony. And again, when she was done, it didn't take long. I would guess she talked for maybe 7 or 8 minutes, and she asked for prayer, and she told how what she did was wrong, and it was right that even though the Lord had forgiven her, that these people hadn't forgiven her, and she needed to serve her time, and she was frightened. But when it was all done, man, your heart just went out to her, and you knew that she was a new sister in Jesus. Now I think, oh my goodness, I just felt for her. It was impossible not to feel for her, and to have this whole new life of the Spirit emerging, and then knowing she's going, and she was sentenced to a long time in jail. Whether she'll get out right away or not, you know, or get out soon, she's still going to be putting in years. Just how well she had put all that together in her mind, and how Jesus was with her. That was a fabulous testimony. And it was planned, but it wasn't scripted like the other one had been. So yeah, those were really, really strong. I've heard in that same group testimonies that have gone as long as like 35, 40 minutes that were just absolutely breathtaking about what God's doing in prisons. So testimony has probably been the biggest thing I've heard, even over sermons that I've heard.
Why doesn't the church make greater use of testimonies?
I have no idea why they don't. Sometimes people don't like, you know, just pass the mic to somebody, but neither one of those testimonies were spontaneous. The one in church, the lady had it all written out, and she knew how much time she had. In fact, the pastor who was speaking that morning said to her, "Thank you for staying within the time frame that I gave you," and she apparently hit it right on the nose. And the woman who gave the testimony at what's called Radical Timeout, the Thursday night group for ex-offenders, and her being a new offender, she was incredible. I mean, she was articulate in every sense, a good communicator. I don't think testimonies are good if they are spontaneous a lot of times, because people are trying to think of what they're going to say. I think testimonies are at their very best when people have had time to think through what they want to say. They know what their time limits are, and they hold pretty much to those time limits. And they've had a chance to work it through, sometimes even having rehearsed it with someone else, saying, "I need to cut 2 minutes out of this," and then having put it together very well. That's when they're really powerful. I think they can be spontaneous. I don't think pastors have the faintest idea how powerful testimonies are. I mean, you're hearing this come from someone in the congregation. And again, the great desire of these people to uphold Jesus and what he's done. I think, Dean, the testimonies are oftentimes what unlock revival even more than preaching. You know, music's a part of revival, preaching is a part of revival, but usually it's the people who say, "I've confessed to the Lord what is happening in my life, and there's a whole new relationship. I'm filled with joy. I know that there are certain consequences of what I have done, but at the same time, my desire to be right with the Lord is more important to me than even what these consequences could be." But there's a certain higher level for ministers that is different than just people who are in the congregation. I think they should be used way more. But I don't think it should be, "Let's get Pete to say something. Maybe he has grown in his walk with the Lord that we don't know about." I think it's very carefully chosen. I've found that sometimes in those Radical Timeout meetings, sometimes they'll have as many as 4 or 5 testimonies. And they'll say, "The testimonies have gone much longer tonight, so we're going to skip the preaching time. The Lord has spoken through what you've heard, and we'll just leave it there." So that the testimonies actually take precedence over the sermon. And I think that's great, because I think sometimes we romanticize preaching and see it as the special type of communication. And in revival times, the testimonies just take over. I mean, there are long lines of people waiting to come to the microphone, and the minister just says, "Let it happen." One way or the other, what I have to say is not nearly as important as what these people have to say. So in my mind, if we see this huge revival that we all want, I think there will be a time when testimony actually takes over in some ways and trumps preaching, if you please, and I think that will be a good thing.
Never underestimate the power of a well-delivered, short, first-hand report from a layperson of what God is doing in his or her life. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors in their ministry, and we invite you to join with us and use those resources. And we invite you to come back for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.